Latest installment of BR by the Numbers has the headline Pains, Claims, and Automobiles. Joining us now to talk about it, Andrew Fitzgerald from the Baton Rouge Area Chamber. Andrew, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Hey, Brian. I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
No, glad to have you on here. Before we get into today's topic, you and I were at the same event last Thursday evening at the opening of the Queen. What were your takeaways?
Sure. So the Sportsbook had an awesome giant screen. I really liked the concert space, and I was shocked by how good the Shaq Big Chicken Sandwich was. What about you?
Okay. Completely agree on the DraftKings Sportsbook. It was phenomenal, although of the five bets I placed that night, I've already lost two of them. So waiting to see if LSU wins the national championship on one, waiting to see if the Saints win their opener on another, and of course LSU's going to take care of business this weekend. So I'm 0-2 already at the DraftKings Sportsbook. That's not to take away from how awesome it was. The concert venue was fantastic. Bar's a little bit close to the stage, though. A little bit of shouting to get a Kettle One soda. But it's such a beautiful venue. It's going to be a fantastic concert spot. Shaq's Big Chicken, I actually didn't make it over there. Really, really wanted to.
There.
Yeah, I mean, just got to talking with folks, and before you know it, it's time for the drone show. So, and then once the place was fully opened up, once doors were open at 9 p.m., there was no getting into Shaq's Big Chicken. That was a line and a half for sure. So I'll have to go back to experience the chicken, but everything else was just top-notch and fantastic. So
agreed.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Auto insurance rates in Louisiana are ridiculous. One of the running jokes we've had around here is when people move to Louisiana, the things that they can't adjust to, humidity and auto insurance, 1 and 1A. Why are our auto insurance rates as bad as they are?
Well, our auto insurance rates are as bad as they are because we simply pay out more bodily injury claims two times the amount of national average. And so an insurer basically says for every dollar they have to pay out, they turn around and ask the people who pay car insurance, like, well, you got to cover that. That's just how the insurance industry works. So we pay two out the amount of the national average, 2.5 times as much as Mississippi, and 3 times that of Arkansas. So we're way ahead of our regional peers even.
Okay, so when you say payout, you don't mean the cost per. Vehicles, totaled vehicles or damaged vehicles in Louisiana don't cost more than damaged vehicles in Arkansas, Texas, or Mississippi, do they?
No, they don't. The fact of the matter is that we just have so many more claims. You know, our per claim amount that we pay out is only about $17,000 mm-hmm. per claim, and that is closer to $24,000 nationally. So it's not that we have these gigantic, gargantuan claims. It's that we have so many normal-sized claims. So either we have 2 to 3 times as many car wrecks as other states, or we're just paying out more claims because of things like personal injury suits. And the data shows that we have about the same amount of accidents as everybody else.
Okay. That's an important point right there. Andrew Fitzgerald from Baton Rouge Area Chambers, our guest. It's BR by the numbers. Every chance we get to break one of these down, we absolutely do. Okay, so we don't have more accidents than others, but we do have more the claims to accident ratio is what's off here in Louisiana, correct?
Sure. So when you adjust for population size, we basically have about 20% more claims for property damage. So 20% more times that a car gets damaged. We have 100% more times bodily injury, personal injury claims. So, you know, it's 5 times as excessive. It's like maybe we should have like 20% more bodily injury claims, but we don't. We have 100% more. So we have way more bodily injury claims than we have an excess of car wrecks. So it doesn't add up unless we're just being gouged by $1.2 billion per year in personal injury claims. That's 4 times as much as we spend on TOPS as a state. It's a crazy amount of money.
Say that part again about TOPS.
So we pay a little bit between $300 and $400 million a year for TOPS scholarships and the TOPS program here. We pay out $1.2 billion in personal injury claims per year. It is just more rewarding to get rear-ended than it is to go to college.
We've got Andrew Fitzgerald for the Baton Rouge Area Chamber. Now you'll see why I nerd out on the numbers every single time. Things like that stick out and they mean something. Okay. Now, does that mean we get hurt more? Honestly, if we're looking side by side with Arkansas, Mississippi, or Texas, we have personal injury claims. Do we have the physical injuries behind that? Is there a way to get to the bottom of that number?
There isn't, and the closest proxy I could find is fatal accidents adjusted for population size. Mm-hmm. So for every 100,000 people in Louisiana, we have about 15.5 traffic fatalities per year. That number is 21.7 in Mississippi. So you're 25% more likely to die in a car accident in Mississippi, and yet we're paying out two times the amount in bodily injury claims from auto accidents. So it's more deadly to drive there, but somehow we just must have millions more soft tissue injuries or something here. It doesn't add up. It doesn't smell right. And the consumer is the one being soaked here.
Yeah, I mean, and the question then becomes why? The question becomes why are folks being talked into going to get medical treatment for things that aren't really injuries, and then the cost has to be covered via insurance? And one other number, you mentioned the TOPS number there, Andrew, but one of the things that the story said was the insurance companies paid out the equivalent of $255 for every man, woman, and child in the state last year. The TOPS number sounds so much bigger because it's huge, but yeah. That $255 per, it's like when you look at it, where's mine? Is there a matter of the number of folks who are saying where's mine is continuing to grow?
Yeah, and so if you think about it, especially in the context of litigation, there's a natural tension between consumers that want lower auto rates and between car accident attorneys. On the consumer side, we know that the only way to lower rates is to get that $1.2 billion more in line with the national average, which would be $600 to $700 million. So we're going to almost cut that in half to get lower rates. On the other side, the auto attorneys generally use what's called a contingency-based model, where they don't take any money up front from their clients, but they take about a third of whatever the award is down the road. So for them, think about 33% of that $1.2 billion. That's a lot of money on the table. And every dollar we take away from that $1.2 billion affects their bottom line. So there's a natural tension between those billboard attorneys and me and you with paying for auto insurance.
Wait, so the attorneys get paid based off of the settlement. Is the long and the short of that. So is it as simple as blaming the attorneys here?
You know, I don't think it is. I think that they're operating with the system in which we have, and the system just happened to be slanted towards them. You know, I think that this is something we should be asking everybody running for office, everybody running for the legislature and governor, and say, what are you going to do to get our insurance rates more in line, which we know will take getting our kind of insurance and legal system more in line with the national average? I don't think it's wrong to take advantage of the system that we have in place, but it's incumbent on us as the consumers and our elected officials to put a better system in place.
Andrew Fitzgerald is our guest. We're talking about our car insurance rates and why they are so high. Andrew, haven't we seen in recent legislative sessions efforts to change the system?
We have. Particularly, there were a number of bills. We filed one of them in the 2020 session, and then boy, that session got truncated and not a lot happened. And there was a sort of a half-hearted effort that was a compromise bill between the governor, who is staunch supporter of the billboard attorneys, and kind of the reform people. And so a half measure was passed. And then with inflation, with everything else, that kind of got eaten up. And there was no real movement in auto industry or auto insurance price.
How much you mentioned the governor who was in lockstep, or I should say lockstep. Those weren't your words. But the governor, who generally agrees with the personal injury attorneys, how much of that plays in real life? How much of political alignment between trial attorneys and the politicians that are elected? This is a matter of elections have consequences.
Sure, it is. And I will say, you know, the trial attorneys are one of the most powerful lobbies you're going to see at the Capitol. And The Advocate had a great article about that yesterday, about how they're just incredibly well-funded and they're funding a lot of people running for office.
And at the same time, though, and this is where I don't want to run afoul of who the trial attorneys are, right? Some of the bigger names in Baton Rouge are really good people. At their hearts, are really good people. They take care of their neighbors. They cut huge NIL checks, and they have cool rap songs in their commercials. They're really good people along the way.
Absolutely.
But the system that is set up, I mean, it gives so much advantage to just one side here. So if we want our car insurance rates to come down, is a part of this process another round of tort reform?
You know, I think that what our legislative agenda is going to go out this week for the Baton Rouge Area Chamber, and one thing that we're going to call for is for outside third party, you know, academic experts in insurance and the legal system to do an evaluation. Have somebody from outside the state come in and say, oh, here are the laws that are kind of making things tricky, and here's the fix for them. Because it's obvious there's so much bias locally that having that kind of second set of eyes would be really helpful. Mm-hmm. But also, Florida just passed a bill this spring they're the only state that probably has a worse auto and property insurance issue than we do. And so they passed a bill this spring that's pretty comprehensive. And the way I think I know that's going to work is because while that bill was going through the legislative process, a glut of cases was filed to get grandfathered in. Attorneys were just filing cases like crazy. To me, that shows they think that reform they passed there is going to work. So maybe that's something we look at, too, is that comprehensive bill passed by Florida in their spring legislature.
We're talking with Andrew Fitzgerald from the Baton Rouge Area Chamber. The basic question, why are our car insurance rates so high? Every so often, BR by the numbers, it takes an in-depth breakdown of different topics around the capital area. This is one that has caught my eye, to be sure. So along with the elected officials, some of the proposed reforms by BRAC would be what?
So number one, let's say you have a case and there are going to be future medical bills. Mm-hmm. Right now, that's paid out in a lump sum, and part of it goes to the attorney, and the rest is just a pile of money that the individual can do whatever they want with. They might go buy a truck. Well, if they don't have any money for future medical bills, we have to pay for that. The state has to end up paying for that down the road. We think that should go into a reversionary trust. So you have $1 million of future medical bills. It goes into trust, and then you draw down against that as you go and get your treatment. And that seems like a way to ensure that the money for medical bills goes to medical bills. That's another big one, too.
Yeah.
In addition to, there's one more that's really interesting. It involves kind of the fiduciary relationship between doctors and the lawyers and kind of truth in billing to insurance companies. So there's sometimes some flimflammery going on, and we have a proposal that would kind of get rid of that as well.
Do we have time to dive in on that?
Sure. It's a complex issue, but I think we could probably break it down in a minute or so.
Go for it.
That works for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of times there are medical providers that have ongoing relationships with attorneys. If you're an attorney, you go to the same doctor to talk about soft tissue injuries. And what happens is, the doctor provides a bill to the insurer or to the attorney. The attorney then gets payment from the insurer. And the attorney a lot of times might keep some of that money because of an agreement they have with the doctor. That just doesn't seem right. We want insurance companies to be able to directly pay the medical provider. That way there's no kind of third-party intermediary that gets a little piece of the action. That's just not very efficient. So insurance right now can't pay medical providers directly. That just seems like a no-duh kind of thing.
On the automotive end, I know I don't want to conflate these two things, but on the automotive end, insurance companies often have deals hammered out with body shops that makes it more friendly to send the car there because they're going to charge the insurance company less on the back end. This feels like a similar relationship where we need to start telling more motorists that, look, even though you've chosen your attorney doesn't have to pick your doctor.
Right, and it really puts people in a conflict because, they think, well, if I go to the doctor my attorney wants, it maybe he's going to have a more favorable opinion. So it also helps avoid that appearance of impropriety there, even if there is no impropriety, just the appearance of it kind of mucks up the process a little bit.
Andrew Fitzgerald from the Baton Rouge Area Chamber, our guest for about another minute. How long would it take to enact new policy, enact new laws, and see them actually implemented in real life?
So rates are generally set by the prior year's payouts. So whenever something goes into effect, the next year is still going to be based in the year before the reforms took place. So let's say in 2024, perfect world, we got a bunch of great reforms passed. It really wouldn't, and then it wouldn't take effect until, let's say, 2025. 2025 isn't taken account until 2026 by the insurers. So you're already talking several years out, so it really is a pretty urgent thing. So you'd want to pass a bill that goes into effect relatively quickly. That way, the impact is felt sooner rather than later. So there is going to be a lag time no matter what. But if we push it off a year, and that's the downside of the study we mentioned, that takes a year. Kick the can down the road another year. And we're talking about 4 years from now, maybe we have something.
I hate to do this with less than a minute to go, Andrew, but the attorneys aren't the only problem with the insurance here. Are there other ways that legislatively we can make up ground to reduce our insurance rates?
Sure. I think maybe we could have stricter penalties on not having insurance. That's one thing, too, is like uninsured motorists is definitely a problem here as well. And I think we saw in New Orleans, especially over the past few years, the sort of, the wreck scams where people purposely get in wrecks. And so there need to be those kind of things. I don't want to hammer on just one group, but it's probably, what is the large amount of litigation has affected it more than anything. But there are other ways at the margins we can cut into it for sure.
He is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Baton Rouge Area Chamber. We break down BR by the numbers every chance we get. Always appreciate the time, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.